May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What on earth is the ascension of Jesus all about? If we were to rely on a traditional artistic interpretation, then we might be left with the idea that Jesus went up into the air, like some sort of divine space rocket. In the parish where I served as a curate, we had some very keen knitters who made banners. I'll leave that image with you. But the one for the ascension showed Jesus floating up into the heavens like some great novelty hot air balloon. If you ask most children at school what the ascension is about, they probably won't have a clue. Ask most parishioners what the ascension of Christ is about, and they might not have a clue. Today we recall how Jesus withdrew from his disciples, but that physical absence didn't mean the end of Christ's presence. Seeing and touching someone doesn't necessarily mean that there's an intimacy between the two people. Two people can be physically close and yet live very separate, often lonely lives with no meeting of heart and mind. And yet, people can grow together when they're apart. There's that old adage, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Jesus' ascension was not a journey into outer space, but rather a journey home. So images of Jesus soaring into heaven can lead us to the conclusion that Jesus has abandoned us, has abandoned humanity, that he once lived on earth and was one with humanity, but has now returned to the place where he really belongs, heaven. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was bound by time and space. He was historically present in first century Palestine. He could only be in one place at a time. But now that he's united with God, he's present wherever God is present. And that is everywhere. And that's such an important message to hold on to as we all try to come to terms with the barbarous cruelty of Monday's attack on young people and families in Manchester. Christ has never abandoned us, but walks alongside his people. Christ shares our tears. Christ shares our anguish. And he offers us light and hope in the midst of darkness and of fear. In many ways, we're in very much the same position as those first disciples of Jesus. We gather here in faith to worship God, and in faith, we break open the words of Scripture and we break bread together. Christ is present here in our midst, and we encounter the risen and ascended Lord just as they did. Someone once said, the body of Christ eats the body of Christ and becomes the body of Christ. We, the church, are nourished by Christ through the words of Scripture, through the sacraments, and so we're strengthened to be God's witnesses to the world. Jesus never left people where he found them. He always moved them on. He transformed their lives. But before leaving his apostles, Jesus commissioned them to preach the good news to the ends of the earth and to make disciples. He promised to send them the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and at Pentecost, he fulfilled that promise. The days between today, Ascension Day, and the Feast of Pentecost, a week on Sunday, are traditionally set aside for prayer, asking, pleading with God that he will shower the Holy Spirit upon us, giving us grace, giving us strength and encouragement to live out the demands of the gospel, and that God's kingdom may come. Christians here and throughout the world are joining in a cycle of prayer called Thy Kingdom Come, praying for our world and that we may make new disciples. Our prayers are perhaps needed for our world now more than ever before. At the back of the cathedral, there are some leaflets for you to take away. Do ask for one on your way out. Pray wherever you are in the coming 9 days. Pray whenever you can. Like the Eucharist, may God take us, bless us, break us, and give us to the world, so that we may make God's presence known through our words and our deeds, drawing all people to his love, his peace, and his hope. Amen.